Hi there, thanks for joining us. It's the Postcast from the Racing Post in association with Racing Post Members Club. I'm Bruce Millington, and I'm joined this week making a belated return to the Postcast. He was a pioneer of the show, Dave Orton, normally now, of course, the excellent host of Racing Post Live every Saturday on every big day. Dave normally hosts those shows. Today, though, he's going to put his pundit's hat back on and show us what a fine judge he is, hopefully. He's joined by another fine judge from the Racing Post, Robbie Wilders. Here is what's coming up on the show. It's Shergar Cup Day at Ascot on Saturday. Huge crowds, 80s bands performing after racing, sunshine, all the fun of the fair, and seven races for you on ITV. They are also showing two at Haydock, one at Newmarket. And then we've got the race I'm most looking forward to. It is in Ireland. It is the Phoenix Stakes. And that should be an absolute belter. Without doubt, the best two-year-old race of the year so far. OK, Ascot Saturday. Let's rattle through these Shergar Cup races. The first of them is the 135 at Ascot. It's the Dubai Duty Free, full of surprises. Classified stakes over seven furlongs. Let's give you some indicative prices. Auburn, favourite at 13-8. Epsom Faithful, 5-2. Divine Magic, 11-2. And it's 9-1 bar. Robbie, are you a Shergar Cup fan?
No, not massively. But being in this job, got to put the work in, haven't you? So that's exactly what I've done.
Good, I'm glad to hear it.
I think the favourite here, Auburn, is very short for me. I mean, he's up £8 for winning at Glorious Goodwood in the Golden Mile. He was impressive there, but everything sort of fell into place. And he's only 2 from 27 for David O'Mara. I'm not sure he's going to back it up at this different track. I'd rather search one at a bit of a price. I like Stone Soldier for Archie Watson. Now, this horse is rated 100 on the all-weather, but 88 on turf. He is better on the all-weather, but all-weather form does tend to translate quite well to Ascot on fast ground. He's got Jamie Spencer on board. He should come forward for his first run in 4 months at Haydock on soft ground last month. That wouldn't have suited. I think there's lots to like, and he's about 14-1. So, hopefully he gets a softer flyer.
OK, Stone Soldier is Robbie's first tip of the day. Who is yours, David?
Yeah, Bruce, great to be back on a Postcard. Never mind the Lionesses. I feel like I'm coming home. Auburn is one of the head scratches, I think, for everyone. This is one of these classified races. I won't go into it too much politically. I've been with Keels in the office all day. He's been gnawing my ear off about the fact that they've got this as a classified race instead of a handicap, and it hasn't filled, which is a bit of a disaster. Auburn, if you miss the party in the Golden Mile at Goodwood at 20-1, you need your head red if you're backing him at 13-8. At York a couple of years ago, he got a race post rating of 110 for winning over a mile. He's back down in trip. He's never particularly shone on the straight route, but you have got Neil Callan. And like Robbie, a lot of punters will be looking at the British riders for all of these races, I think, Bruce. However, I'm going away from that. I think Epsom Faithful should be favourite, despite he's getting plenty of weight. And he loves it here. He comes here on a roll. We've got Rennie Pijcelek, who basically punters will know because he's ridden November at Ascot to place. At the Royal meeting. Then we saw him on Torquato Tasser, of course. So he's a decent jockey. He's drawn in stall seven, and that'll do for me.
Lovely stuff. We're off and running. Let's move on to the 210. It's the Dubai Duty Free Shergar Cup Dash over five furlongs. And Arecibo is favourite at 4-1. King of Stars, 11-2. Manakan is 6-1. Count Dorsey, 13-2. 8 bar. Looks quite difficult. I mean, Arecibo is a horse, Dave, if you follow him, you have a lot of frustrations and the odd moment of joy. Are you going to be with him or against?
It's just the sort of race that a horse like Arecibo will pop up in, I think. I mean, dance some big dances. And again, another jockey that the reason why he's favourite is probably because of the Daniel Tudhope factor, I would imagine. Stall three, not ideal. He's got King of Stars is in this race, Bruce. The front-running grey under Takeshi Yokoyama. If that had a British jockey on it, I think it would be coming in for more love because it's easier to make all, of course, on the straight track if you've got a jockey who knows it, which Takeshi doesn't. Manakan is the bet here, I think. One of the better bets of the day at Ascot. Drawn right next to King of Stars, Hayley Turner, the Queen of the Shergar Cup. What more do you need?
Lovely stuff. Roberto?
Yeah, I feel like Arecibo's a better favourite here than Auburn is. I mean, it's just he's running his first handicap for, 15 months? I mean, he was second in the King Stand last year. That's proper Group 1 form. He obviously likes the course and distance. As Dave touched upon, Danny Tudhope, I mean, few ride Ascot better. And that is certainly an advantage in these kind of Shergar Cup races. doesn't have to concede that much weight either. It's quite a compressed field. So, yeah, I think Arecibo is quite a good bet.
OK, I've just been checking out the after racing concert. I always thought this was kind of 80s-tastic, Alison Moyet and China Crisis. But we've got Clean Bandit. Have you heard of them, Robbie? Or him?
Yeah, yeah. You remember that big one, don't you?
No, go on.
That I'm ready for this. There's no.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My Lord. This is why I don't come on postcards, because Wilder sings.
Well, yeah, well, I've sung on Racing Post Live a few times. He seems to enjoy it, mate. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we've got the Hoosiers, Sam Henshaw, Sam with two M's. I'm not sure about that. And Marvin Humes. I've heard of him, but not a lot else. Okay, well, anyway, I'm not going. So I hope those that do enjoy themselves no end. Meanwhile, 2:45 is the Dubai duty-free Shergar Cup Stayers over 2 miles. And 9-4 Super Jack is favourite here. And then it's 4-1 Red Force One, 5-1 Rock Eagle, 13-2 Throne Hall, 9-1 Barb. Robbie, you're going first, and who you are tipping?
Yeah, I mean, Super Jack's the right favourite, but he does have a knack of finding trouble in running. He should have won at Glorious Goodwood last week, I thought. He's up £4. It's quite a quick turnaround after a hard race over 2.5 miles. So I think I want to take him on. I call it Island Brave. I mean, ignoring the jockey factor, which is an issue probably. The guy on board is Jose Luis Martinez, 9-time Spanish champion jockey. No experience of Ascot, but I just think Island Brave is, you know, very well suited to this kind of race. I mean, he won it a couple of years ago. Admittedly, it wasn't registered as a Shergar Cup race that year. But he was a close fourth in it last season, a £4 higher. He's back down to his lowest mark for 2 years. He enjoys the place. He's quite a big price. So I think there's quite a lot to like.
Island Brave for Rob. Who for you, Dave?
I think that Grealish will win this after an unlucky run for Super Jack at Goodwood. Nicola Curry takes the ride. And it's been a tough couple of years for Nicola, as most, you know, regular race goers will know. She's only ridden, Bruce, from 118 rides this year, 8 winners. But she must be sensing that this meeting's coming back, because she always seems to nick one here. And 4 of those 8 winners have come since the turn of August. So she's coming into it hot. And if she delivers him at the furlong marker, I think Milton Harris will be taking this one out.
Righty-ho. In 10 seconds' time, we will continue our Shergar Cup odyssey.
Stay ahead of the field with Racing Post Members Club, featuring unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, exclusive online content, replays from all UK and Irish racecourses, and more. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22 to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. Head to racingpost.com/postcast to find out more.
Welcome back. It's the Postcast with Bruce Millington, Dave Orton and Robbie Wilders. 3:20 at Ascot on Saturday. All the action on ITV on the main channel. 1.4 miles is the trip for the Dubai Duty-Free Shergar Cup Challenge. 7-2 favourite at the moment, Pride of Priory. 9-2 Charging Thunder. 9-2 the Whipmaster. Tenbar, Dave, one of the front three, or are you going to delve down the list for the value?
I'm going to be delving. I'm going to delve. Pride of Priory, a horse I know a bit about. I backed him 2 runs back when he came good at Kempton on the all-weather, and I actually suggested they might want to step up and trip. They did that last time at Newcastle. I went against him, actually, and he got up in the whisker of the post. This will be sharp enough for him, but I think if you're over Team Aggies, you know, they've got some big rides, haven't they? All of theirs are nearly favourite because of the jockey bookings. Amanzo in the first is Mason, Joanna, who is the top rider favourite at the moment. They've got Kieran Schumacher on this, and the horse we'll get to later on, ridden by Danny Tudhope as well. So that's probably why he's favourite. I'd be against him.
Yeah, but isn't it also the fact that all the Haggis horse? I mean, I don't know another trainer, and I'm not trying to besmirch Haggis here because he's excellent, and to an extent, they're short because they deserve to be because he's good. But do you ever see a Haggis horse and you think, oh, they've forgotten that? They, you know, they've overlooked that one. They all get so much respect in the betting, don't they?
Yeah, and to the point where we talk about drifters all the time, and when do you worry about them? When you see one of Williams going badly wrong in the market, yeah, you feel like you're beaten before you've actually seen it run, don't you? I agree. I just think that he's got so lucky. You know, I think all of his horses actually are ridden by domestic jocks. And as you know, we mentioned in that first race that we covered, punters will be looking to jockeys. You know, your once a year punters, maybe not. But if you're a serious race goer, you know, and you're going there, surely you're looking at the punters here, I think. Yeah, and I guess he's on a hat trick, isn't he? But the one for me, Bruce, is Southern Voyage, who's a course and distance winner. Neil Callanan, so another British jock. Stall 9. He blew his brains out at York last time in a better race than this by Vorza Orta. And they backed him strongly that day. I think this will come on for a lot. This is one that should be shorter in the market. If Neil Callan can get some cover, this could be better than them.
Okay, Rob, what's your view here?
Yeah, I'm the same as Dave. Southern Voyage for me. He was really disappointing on his return, but that can't have been his true running. I mean, they're definitely a good horse in there. He split Peter the Great and Nagano in the Wood Ditton on his debut last season. He's won over the course and distance before. You've got Neil Callan on. He'd have more experience of Ascot than most of these. And yeah, I think he's definitely well handicapped and he has been a little bit overlooked.
Okay, the 355 is the mile. And it's 9-4 Montasib at the head of the market, and then Isla Kai at 9-2, Bopedro 7-1, and it's 8-1 Jungle Cove, 12-1 Bar. Rob, what have you got for us here?
Gonna sit this one out, Bruce. Too tough for me.
All right, nice one, Dave.
Lucky I'm here, then, isn't it?
It is.
And again, here we go. It's Groundhog Day, 45 minutes later. William Haggis, Daniel Tudhope gets on. And as we know, has ridden the likes of a Dave to royal success for William. And he actually rode this chap on his debut, Bruce. You couldn't have got luckier, could you, if you backed this horse in the anti-post market or if you even fancy him, you know, sort of rocking up at the track. The one problem is stall 11. This is on the round course, obviously. So he's right on the outside. The one positive weighing back in is that you've got Isla Kai and Frankie Dettori right inside you. If you're Danny Tudhope, you've got one plan, and that's stick on Frankie because he will be looking to get on the front on this horse. However, what is probably the right horse, I don't think he's one of these sort of sleeping, lurking group horses for William. A marker 97, he's probably a 105 horse in my mind. So how much has he got in hand? The one that I like here, I think it's going to go to Ireland. For the Queen of Woodbine, Emma Jane Wilson, who's got three Shergold Cup winners in her cap already. Jungle Cove, watch back in your members club. That ride last time at Gowran. Last off the bridle, got taken nearly halfway across the track, lost the race. God knows how it didn't get it in the steward's room. Loads of experience this horse has got. It's in stall 5, will be one of the last off the bridle, one of the stronger bets of the day.
Lovely stuff. We'll stick with Dave for the 4:30, which is the classic over a mile and four. And Berkshire Breeze is favourite for Joanna Mason at 7-2. And then at 4-1, we've got Franz Strauss, also Hamaki, 9-1 Pub Crawl, 10 Sheer Rocks, 12 Bar. Dave, fancy anything strongly here?
And again, Joanna Mason finds herself on a horse that probably should have finished closer on its last start, Berkshire Breeze. And you can see why Joanna is quite a short price, actually, Bruce, with most firms, to take the silver saddle, as they called it on this day. She's drawn in stall 6. You just got a little bit of an Oliver Twist feeling about this horse, haven't you? Loads of seconds, some thirds there as well. Franz Strauss bumped into one last time at Sandown, but I'm not sure about his draw. That's the Gosden and Jose Luis Martinez ride. Do you know what? I might give Frankie a chance here on Sheer Rocks, who is a horse that hasn't shown his best yet, but when he got it right two starts back, they've always thought that this horse is nearly group material. He's in stall 1, Eve Johnson-Houghton, Frankie for me.
Are you enjoying being a tipster, Dave, rather than a host?
Absolutely loving life here. This is what it's all about. I remember it now.
Can you come on more often, please, mate? Love
it. Well, Robbie didn't even tip in that last one. It's like we've got Robway on the show, isn't it?
No, we like that.
It's important to sit it out, mate, if you've got no insight.
Yeah, responsible betting. That's what it's all about. You don't have to bet every race. Robbie, are you going to have one here?
Yeah, I'll have one here. Hamaki, William Haggis, Jamie Spencer again. Just feel like he's really going to like this 1-mile-4 trip. I mean, he's a half-brother to Ventura Storm, who was second in the St. Ledger a few years ago. Saw at 1-mile-2 really nicely on soft ground last time. That was a decent little race, I thought. He's up £5 for that. He's got a good man on board, as I pointed out. And yeah, I think he's quite a good bet.
Okay. And finally, form as far as the Shergold Cup goes, at 5:05, we've got the Dubai Duty-Free Shergold Cup Sprint over 6 furlongs and 3-1 favourite as a Resenia. And then it's 7-2 Admiral D, 5-1 Spangle Matt, and 9 Bar. A lot of these races from a betting perspective, Rob, have got a kind of similar feel to me. And then there seems to be three at the front and then a big gap back to the rest.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. They're very competitive races. There's no like bomb-proof favourites at all. Although I do think Rosina should potentially be a bit shorter than she is.
Your man Jose Luis is on board again, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he's going to have a good day if I'm going to make any money on Saturday. But I just feel like this... filly, really enjoyed the drop to sprinting last time at Carlisle. She'd only run over seven before that. Saw out the stiff finish really well. Ascot's not a million miles away in terms of configuration to Carlisle. She's up £4 for that to 86, but she's actually entered in a group three at Leopardstown in a couple of weeks. I thought that was quite interesting. They obviously think she's a bit better than her mark of 86. So, I mean, yeah, it could be a steering job for Martinez. And, yeah, she looks quite a good favourite, I think.
OK, Dave, before you give us your tip on the sprint, are you gassed for Racing Post Live tomorrow? Is the Shergar Cup something that you look forward to getting stuck into? I think you've got a decent panel tomorrow, haven't you?
A decent panel is absolutely right. You should go up with your adjectives, Bruce, on this one. We've got Oisin Murphy coming in. I mean, what can possibly go wrong? Three-time champion jockey comes and joins myself and Keels. Paul Keely, his annual visit. We were laughing earlier. Keels' last show, I think he did a couple during the jumps, but he did this Shergar Cup as well. So not only does he loathe this team racing, we also bring him in for Racing Post Live.
Brilliant.
So yeah, Bruce, we're on air at 1:15. It's going to be great. Oisin, we had him in for a Royal Ascot preview when we were doing What a Shout or other feature show. He was mustard. And it's a great chance for everyone to interact with a guy that knows Ascot better. So if you're not sure about the racing, you know, tomorrow at Ascot, join us on live, because Oisin knows a lot of these international jockeys. He's ridden most of the horses. We're going to have a great time. And Barry Orr, the big hitter, he's joining over in the studio as well. Can't wait.
Lovely stuff. Okay, so who are you going to go with here?
Nap time. Ooh. Steering job, Wilders. What are you on about with Rosina? Have you watched any of her races whatsoever? She was supposed to win at Chester a couple back, and she really disappointed this day. At Carlisle last time, she needed every inch of that big hill. She's drawn in two. This is not a Jose Luis Martinez ride. Nap time. Is there some sort of bell, Bruce, on this show for naps?
Oh, well, we do have the naps at the end, but if you want to give it away and totally ruin everything, yeah, fire away.
Are you sure you want me to come back? It's Admiral D will be steering the ship brilliantly. Joanna Mason's going to get this one in front. Stood no chance behind Lethal Levi in what's always a really strong three-year-old sprint on the July course last time. Flew home that day. I remember Keels napped it and I saw it fast finishing second. So, of course, we chatted about it afterwards. The jockey that day got off and said he needs soft ground. We're not convinced. We think this is his, you know, his track. Lethal Levi went out and won again next time. Forget what he did at Goodwood last time. He missed the kick. This is definitely the strongest bet for me at Ascot anyway this weekend.
Okay, very quickly then, before we move on to the other stuff, who's going to win the Silver Saddle?
Well, Joanna is short, but I honestly, and I know it's sort of easy to say, but I genuinely think that Hayley Turner at 20-1 with a lot of firms is a bit of a rick. And Danny Tudhope's 11, I got told earlier as well this morning. I think it will stay with one of the home team. If you wanted to look away, honestly, Jason Collar is mustard. I watch a lot of Aussie racing, as I always bore everyone telling him about. But he rides for the boys in blue, sorry, down there. You don't get Sheikh Mo in Australia unless you're one of the top boys.
Right, what about you? You're
going to
go with Jose Luis?
He's going to be a massive price, isn't he? I'll be back in two of his rides. So, yeah, I'll do better than that, do a lot worse than that. Tudhope at 11-1 does seem quite interesting, though, I must say.
Righty-ho, we're off to Haydock next.
Stay ahead of the field with Racing Post Members Club, featuring unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, exclusive online content, replays from all UK and Irish racecourses, and more. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22 to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. Head to racingpost.com/postcast to find out more.
Welcome back to the third and final part of the postcast in association with Members Club. It's Bruce Millington, Robbie Wilders and Dave Orton. We've done the Shergar Cup races. If they're not your bag, there's four really good races also on the ITV menu on Saturday. Two at Haydock, and we'll start with the 2.25. It's the Betfred Playfred's £5 million handicap over a mile. Electrical Storm 2-1, Dutch Decoy 5-1, La Trinidad 6, Mr. McCann 6, Young Fire 6, 10 bar. Dave Orton, you've got this one is for us here.
This is a Robbie Wilders race. This is a sit-out race at the 2.25. This is a disaster. I've got so many project horses here, Bruce. One I will give a chance to, and again, small stakes here, like you say, a responsible gambling. Tom Marquand for Hugo Palmer, Mr. McCann. This is the easiest spot he's had for a while. Obviously, Hugo now training up that way. They probably would have been looking towards a race here. He's a course and distance winner. The Premiership's back, and they'll all be watching for this at half-time, won't they, I'd imagine, because a lot of them own him. Stall 3, he'll do for me.
Okay, Roberto, who do you like here?
Yeah, I think the favourite's quite a good thing here. I mean, he returned from 551 days off at York in June, won in really good style there. I think he can be marked up for his defeat at Sandown last time. He fared best of those who raced up with the pace there. This looks a weaker race for me, and he's off the same mark. So, yeah, there's plenty to like about Electrical Storm.
Excellent. I'm glad you gave us his name at the end. 3 o'clock at Haydock, the Betfred Rose of Lancaster Stakes. Group three, we've got some group action. The last three races we're going to do are all about quality. 1 mile, 2.5 furlongs the trip. And the favourite for William Haggerson, Tom Marcond, at 7-4 is Grocer Jack. And then it's 5-1 Anmart, 11-2 Intelligent, 7 Passion and Glory, and 10 Bar. And Dave Wharton's going to give us the winner.
Lots of exposed horses in here, and it all depends what price he's going to be. If he had a lower draw, then Grocer Jack would be bordering on good thing here, I think. Last time at Newbury, probably was a tad flattered by it, Bruce, in the Stevenson Stakes. But that, as the Haggis team know, is the stepping stone for this race. You win that and you come here. And he absolutely tore up the clock that day. The horses behind him, Cadillac, Finest Sound, they probably didn't run their races. But he wasn't thought, to be a fast ground horse. Slightly easier ground at Haydock. I don't think it would be good soft, by the way, up there. The sun is shining, apparently. But he's got the likes of Anmar, who won a John Smith Cup last time on his return, had a hard race there. I think Intelligent will reverse that form. Royal Champion is quite interesting for Atzini and Varian. But again, he's had his problems. All depending on the price, but Grocer Jack, I think, will mop up.
Okay, do you agree with him, Rob?
Nah, I think he got a soft lead at Newbury last time. I think there's quite a lot of pace in there, potentially. You've got the likes of Mary's Diamond always leads. You've got Peter the Great's made it before, and Mark's made it before. It's a different kind of race. It's a stronger race, and I think he just looks too short. I like Intelligent. I think he's going to reverse form with Unmark. He was unlucky in that Johnsonist Cup. He did best of those held up that day. It was a good race. He's rated 109 now. He's on RPRs. He's not got a lot to find with Grocer Jack at all. And he actually won a Group 1 a few years ago. It looks like Chapel Hyams getting the best out of him now. It's only his fourth run for her. She's in banging form. So, yeah, Intelligent for me.
Righty-ho, the 340 at Newmarket next. It's the Juice and Sweet Solera Stakes, a Group 3 for two-year-old fillies over 7 furlongs. And it is wide open, 9 runners. 130 the field as things stand, the favourite being Lakota Sioux for Braveheart. 4-1 Novakai, 11-2 Ivory Madonna, 6 Al Sayoub, 13-2 Lady Alara, and 14 Bar. Robbie, have you got a strong feeling for this one?
Yeah, my strong feeling is Lakota Sioux is a favourite to take on for sure. I mean, she flushes her tail all the time. That kind of always concerns me. There's clearly a bit of a temperament issue there. And that Chesham form as well. She was third in the Chesham. It's working out so badly. Form figures of those who've run since: 2.55, 3.9, 1.43, 7.28. A lot of those races were in novices and handicaps as well. I think it was quite a poor Chesham, to be honest. I'll be taking her on with one of the once race maiden winners. I think Novakay is interesting, really impressive at Doncaster last time. But I think the bet is going to have to be Al Sayoub for Ismail Mohammed. That maiden's working out quite well. The third's won in really good style since. The profile is quite similar to the 2012 winner. She's got experience of the July course. I like that. It's won over the course and distance. There's not too much pace in the field. She made all last time. She could pick up a soft lead, and she looks quite a big price. I'll see you.
Right, you are. And fine. Oh, no, we haven't done you yet, Dave, have we?
I'm glad you come to me, because Robbie's...
Sorry, mate.
Robbie's an absolute shocker there. Absolutely. She was the only filly in the Chesham. Holloway Boy didn't let down the form, did he? At Goodwood last time when he was second in the Vintage Stakes. He's a proper horse, I think, that. He may not be a Group 1 level, but she was ridden differently to how she was at Lingfield when she hosed up. Yes, and again, the tail went round like a windmill. Probably only just making her faster. I wouldn't worry about that. The Johnsons were going for a fourth win in the last 10. The interesting thing here is the draw. If you're on Novakai, stall one is a big worry for a once-raced horse. Al Sayoub made it last time. I can see that angle. Ismail Mohammed, when he gets a decent two-year-old, especially in these colours, I can see it going forward. But I think you need to go for tried and tested form. I think the Fav wins. 130 is a good price. Ivory Madonna would be the danger. Disappointed last time, but if it comes back to the Albany form, it's the one they've all got to beat.
Dave's bottled it. Robbie's bottled it, rather. Sometimes on this show, he jumps back in, but I think he's a little bit sort of cowed by being on.
Yeah, I don't really understand why Dave was slagging me off there.
It's not snagging, Rob. I saved that.
You were saying that Lakota Sue made the run. Yeah, she did make it a couple of starts ago, to be fair.
You've had a shocker there, and a second one next time as well. So, you know, you're
brutal.
Yeah, but that Chesham's working out abysmally, mate.
Yeah, but the winner, of course, who was 40-1, it wasn't a good Chesham, but this isn't a very strong group three for fillies. Again, I'll speak to Kills this morning. It's a long time since a good filly won this. Last year, they stuck all against that far side rail. They had the close third in it with not a very good horse. This is better than that. If James Doyle is a bit more positive, I can see why they held her up last time at Ascot, because you don't want to try and lead there, do you?
Oh, sure. I'm feeling a bit sorry for Rob there.
Don't worry about him. I'll get my own back.
He will.
Peace hopefully will break out, and then we can look at the best race of the ITV menu. It's the 4:15 at the Curra on Saturday, the Kenelm Phoenix Stakes, a Group One for 2-year-olds over 6 furlongs. And I don't think I'm getting anything mixed up here when I say this is the best 2-year-old race of the season so far. Bradsell 7-4 favourite for Archie Watson and Holly Doyle, 5-2 Little Big Bear, 5-1 Persian Force, 6 Blackbeard, 9 Shartash, and 66-1 the outsider Apache Outlaw. What a race, Dave.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, this is like a classic, isn't it? I think we can say that. Bradsell worries me slightly. Persian Force obviously came out, and Royal Scotsman has come out of Goodwood. Persian Force obviously reopposing from the Coventry, but they've just been running to that Coventry form. Now, obviously, Bradsell came out on top. The thing that to say about Bradsell was, Bruce, he was offered at the sales originally for a lot of money, and he didn't go for it. He was then sent to the Breeze Ups, and they picked up an absolute bargain here. Hosed up at York on his debut, won the Coventry, last off the bridle, coming down the middle. Now, you worry about a horse like this is when they get given a break and then they come back against horses from top yards who are, you know, probably still capable of doing great things. This is such a good race. 7-4 or whatever you're getting under 2-1 about him is not a good price in my eyes. I think Little Big Bear could be the freak in the pack. He obviously went to one of the weaker known 2-year-old races at Royal Ascot, but they wanted to have a touch on him, connections like they do. His last time out run was very, very good indeed. Of course, he was supposed to come up against Persian Force when they met at the July Stakes. That was one of the weirdest defections that I think I've ever seen about the ground. I wouldn't worry about that at all. He's a course winner. He's bred to be running over a mile too. I just think he's a bit of a freak. If there's one that's overpriced, Bruce, it's Shartash, who beat Blackbeard and will be coming there late for Johnny Murtagh. I like the fact that he's been given a break as well. That would be my forecast in one of the races of the season.
Yeah, it's really good this, Rob, isn't it? Are you looking forward to this?
Yeah, stonking race. Absolutely the race of the weekend. I think Bradsell is a good favourite, though. I mean, obviously, that Coventry is working out amazingly. Persian Force, Group 2 winner at Newmarket. Royal Scotsman, Group 2 winner at Goodwood. Blackbeard's won a Group 2 in France since. I actually think Blackbeard is maybe slightly overpriced at about 6-1. I mean, I feel that's factored too much into the jockey booking of Moore riding Little Big Bear instead. I don't think there's much between them. And Blackbeard is actually rated £5 higher, quite interestingly. So I think he's a bit of value at 6-1, but I do think Bradsell will be tough to beat. I mean, in that Coventry, he's only making his second start. The horses he beat, who have come out among Group 2 since, had more experience. There should be quite a lot more to come. I think that'd be Holly Doyle's first win in Ireland as well, long overdue. Yeah, Bradsell to get the job done on today. With Blackbeard to follow him home.
Okay, thank you, Rob. Oh, we even get a forecast. What a bonus. Okay, right then. I want to touch upon the big race on Sunday. It's the Arc Prix Maurice de Geest, Group 1, over 6.5 furlongs. Huge number of runners, Rohan's in there, Naval Crown's in there, we've got Minzal. I don't have any prices down. Have you seen any prices, Dave?
No, obviously we're recording this, what, around about lunchtime on Friday. This is one of the ones that I'll be slightly slower with, I think, Bruce. I'd be surprised if Perfect Power wasn't still given a chance, though, as market leader, despite that July flop when, let's face it, it was given a lot to do, but they moaned about the ground. What's it going to be on Sunday? Soft. I think He's drawn in stall 10, Bruce, which is near the stand side. If you've been watching the action from France, how good was it, by the way, to see Saffron Beach win again at the top level earlier there in the week? You love this meeting, Bruce, don't you?
Yeah, I do, very much so. Yeah, I love going to Deauville. I haven't been for a few years, and I used to go every year. It's absolutely brilliant. Have you been, Dave?
I have been once, many, many moons ago, and I think I am actually going to eye it up next year, Bruce. I've got some mates who would like to go, and it's a tricky time to get away. Perfect Power, I still believe in him, Bruce. I still think he's the one horse that can give us some credibility on the world stage with our sprinters. However, Artorias might just have his day in the sun here. It's probably the ideal test for this chap. He's drawn just off a perfect power, the Aussie radar. My, does he deserve it. If Jamie Spence, it can be a long final furlong, 6.5 furlongs, of course, so pretty much 7. I like Rohan, but he's drawn right over the other side. I think this will go down under.
Okay, Robbie, you need to get over to Deauville. It's your sort of place. There's all swanky nightclubs and all sorts, mate. You'd absolutely love it.
Can't be as good as Mykonos, mate. I'll tell you that.
You'd love it over there, Rob, honestly. Absolutely. Yeah.
You've got a few quid behind you, though, I imagine, down in Deauville.
It's not cheap, but the only thing is it's not expensive to get there. You jump on a ferry or on the Eurostar, and then it's about a 3-hour drive down the coast. Easy. And they've got some perfectly cheap hotels there. So it doesn't have to be done, you know, in lavish circumstances. Yeah. But and actually going into the race course, it only costs about €5 to get in. It's honestly beautiful. It's really, really nice.
Yeah, I might pitch that to the boys.
Yeah, do. I think they'd like it. Right then, who's going to win the Morris?
I quite like, it's important to note, the first time I've seen soft in a kind of description in quite a while, but there's no real rain forecast at Deauville. I think it's going to dry out a bit.
But, I don't know why Deauville's always soft. I mean, it's always sunny there, but it's worse than Haydock. They should grow rice there. Anyway, go on.
It's weird. Yeah, this is obviously a strange race. It's the extra half furlong. So I feel like it might suit a kind of 7-furlong type with a bit of ease in the ground. I think Rohan, all his best form is Ascot on stiff track. I mean, over 6, sorry. And he's 1/6 on heavy at Haydock. I think this is his kind of race. Really impressive winner of the Wokingham off top weight. That's a very hard thing to do. Thought he ran okay in the Hatwood Stakes on fast ground at Newbury. I think this is more his bag. I think he's going to win a Group 1 eventually, and it could be on Sunday.
Lovely stuff. Right, then let's go back to Saturday and see what else the boys fancy away from the TV cameras. I was going to say don't give away your naps, but Dave's already done that. Dave, is there anything else you want to flag up on Saturday?
Yeah, Ammon Zoe will win the first at Ascot, I think, Bruce, for those that want one in their multiples, I think. I'll be totally honest, I haven't really looked away. I've been concentrating on the TV races. Appleby, it is a strong one. Unlike Robbie, I think that Grocer Jack will just prove in a different league as well if you wanted to get a Trixie as well in the 3 o'clock at ADOT.
Okay, Ammon Zoe in the 1 o'clock at Ascot. Rob, what have you got for us? You sussed anything?
Nothing else to add apart from my nap, which isn't a race we haven't discussed yet.
This will not be beaten.
All right, then. So, Dave, remind us of your nap.
I'm going to go Admiral D then, 505. Joanna Mason could have already won the Silver Saddle by that time. She just needs to wind him up. This is perfect setup for this chap. Yes, he might be at his absolute peak when they get a bit more rain, if we ever get a bit more rain in the south. But Richard Fahey to take out the 505.
Okay, and Robbie, what's your nap?
The nap is 3/15 at the Curragh in the Phoenix Sprint Stakes, Castle Star. I'm really surprised at how big a price he's opened up at. He's opened about 13-2. I mean, our listeners will remember last year he ran a very close second to Perfect Power in the Middle Park. Hadn't seen him until July in the Group 2 Sapphire Stakes at the Curragh over 5. I thought it was a really good run behind Ladies Church. He was last off the bridle that day. His form suggests he's going to be a bit better over 6 furlongs. All his best form was over 6 last season. Gets another furlong here. I expect him to be much fitter now. And he just looks too big for me. Castle Star.
Lovely stuff. Okay, gents, many thanks indeed for your input. Good luck with the tips. I hope they go well. Good luck with the show tomorrow, Dave. Lovely to have you on. I hope you come back again very soon. In the meantime, thank you very much to producer Chris. Most of all, though, thank you for listening. Great to have you along on the podcast. We're back on Monday to review the action, and then we're back next Friday for another great weekend preview. Join us on the podcast next week.